Today on Maine Calling, how Maine towns got their names, an encore presentation. Why are so many Maine towns apparently named for other countries? Sweden, Mexico, Norway, China, Peru. And what's the story behind those names that reflect virtues or values such as hope, liberty, and freedom? And by the way, who decided on those pronunciations? Why isn't Calais, Calais? Why isn't Saco, Sacco? I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, join me as we listen back to our earlier conversation with Maine State historian Earl Shuttleworth about these town name origin questions. This is the first in a new series for 2025. We are calling Name Calling on Maine Calling, Stories of Maine Names. And we kicked it off by discussing the backstories of Maine town names. Maine Calling is just ahead.
Maine Calling is made possible in part by support from Maine Farmland Trust, working with farmers to grow the future of farming and food in Maine. Learn more at mainefarmlandtrust.org/learn. Maine Health, where care teams provide expert coordinated care focused on your overall wellness to help you be your healthiest self. MaineHealth.org. And by Maine Seacoast Mission, delivering health care, education, and support to islands and coastal Downeast communities. Learn more at seacoastmission.org.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Maine has 491 towns and cities, and many of them have distinctive or unusual names. What's the story behind those? Well, joining me to shed light on these questions and more, Earl Shuttleworth, who is Maine's longtime state historian. This show is the first in our new series, Name Calling on Maine Calling, Stories of Maine Names. We will highlight other topics around names and naming throughout the year. We invite you to join the conversation. Send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. Earl, welcome back to Maine Calling. A thrill to have you back.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
So I'm thinking about all the people who have moved to Maine in the last decade, especially in the last 5 years, and driving around and thinking, there are some unusual town names in Maine. We're all used to the fact that there's Peru and Mexico and Norway and Sweden, for one, or towns that look like they might be pronounced, you know, St. Agatha, but St. Agat is the pronunciation. So why don't we acknowledge from the beginning, we're not going to be able to talk about all 491 names, but ask you the broad question, why are there so many unusual names in Maine?
Well, I think when you look at the naming process, it really took place over a long period of time. You know, Maine begins to be settled in the 17th century, but settlement continues well into the 19th century. Starting in the southern part of the state in York and in Cumberland, but ultimately after the Civil War, a good deal of development in Aroostook. And of course, even earlier in Aroostook, there was the St. John Valley from the late 18th century. And so over that many, many decades, you have quite a mix of different individuals and groups of people who are creating communities. And they come from many different places, many different backgrounds. There are, for every town, there really is a story, an individual story of why it acquired the name that it did. In preparing this morning for our discussion, I looked at a wonderful old book called George Varney's Gazetteer of Maine, which was originally published in 1880 and then an expanded edition in 1886. And it has, as of 1886, a brief history and description of every community in Maine up to that time. And it usually includes how the town name was picked. So it's really a rich and varied story.
That's just wonderful. And it's so interesting how you talk about the waves of people who move to Maine. It's making me think that you mentioned Cumberland County, York County, where you have Wells and York and these names that are very British. And then as we move up, yes. I'm thinking about the clusters. You know, we have Freedom and Hope and Liberty. They're all in the same area. Norway, Paris, you know, Mexico and Western Maine. And I'm wondering if that's because something was going on when settlers were coming to that region that precipitated this sort of way of thinking about names.
Yes, well, you've really reached a very good point there in that let's talk just about the sort of community values that were used for town names. Most of those communities, and I'll name them in a moment, were from the late 18th and early 19th century. They came from the period right after the Revolution, up through the early 1800s, and they included freedom, unity, hope, industry, liberty, union, and harmony. And indeed, our friend Mr. Varney actually points out the fact that in a number of cases, such as unity and union and harmony, that the people who created the town felt that they had those virtues, that they could work together in harmony or in unity. And so they chose that name.
So very aspirational,
yes.
Very hopeful.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. I'm wondering, as you've been doing this research, Earl, if there are any town name stories that you're especially fond of, that are especially unusual or just plain fun.
Oh, yes. Well, one of them that's always fascinated me, because I grew up summers in Somerset County, the name of the town of Moscow. And if you look into the history, Moscow was incorporated in 1816, and it was not long after Napoleon's invasion of Russia. And what we have to remember is that a lot of the information that people in Maine got in the late 18th through the late 19th century came through newspapers. And at least in the earlier period of newspapers, there was a large amount of the space given to national and international news. And so one can only surmise that people who in the Moscow area in the period of 1812 to 1816 were aware of this very traumatic historical event, the invasion of Russia and the burning of Moscow. And so they said, well, let's name our town after that.
So in solidarity, really.
Yeah.
So it's not that there are people who are Russian immigrants living in Moscow.
It's no,
that folks who live there are feeling just, like I said, in solidarity and feeling like honoring the people of Moscow.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. I understand that New Sweden is named because there were Swedish immigrants, but Sweden was not. Is that right?
That's correct. Yes. New Sweden, of course, is a fascinating story. There was a man from Portland named William Widgery Thomas Jr. He was our ambassador to Sweden after the Civil War, and he became very interested in the fact that there were Swedish farmers, agricultural culture that he felt both in climate and in the way in which they approached their agricultural work, could be very much at home in Maine. And so he pioneered the idea of creating new communities in Aroostook, which was just opening up at that time for settlement right after the Civil War. And he arranged for Swedish families to come over and create communities, not only New Sweden, but also Stockholm and two or three other communities. It was really a remarkable feat of of both diplomacy and also pioneering.
And of course, in Cape Elizabeth, it's the Thomas Memorial Library, named for Ambassador Thomas as well. So his influence is in Northern Maine and Southern Maine.
Exactly, yes.
Let's talk about some of the other place names. Norway, though, is not named for Norway, Maine. I mean, excuse me, Norway, the country, or Norwegian settlers, right?
Well, maybe you know more about that than I do.
Oh, really? I had heard that it was originally named for, it was a Wabanaki word, but somebody had gotten it wrong when they,
I'm not sure of that.
when they
We'll have
filled
to
out
look
the
into
paperwork. So we can look into
that.
that.
But that brings up the fact of, we are so famous for these communities that were named for foreign countries. And looking through the gazetteer this morning, let me just list a few that are fun. China, Denmark, Mexico, Norway, Sweden, Peru, and Poland.
Well, and it's funny that you say that. We already have a message from William on Instagram who says, "My ancestors lived in Denmark, Sweden, and Norway and didn't leave Oxford County."
That's great.
So people have a lot of fun with that. Earl, I know that all over the country, a lot of town names are named for presidents. And here in Maine, we have Washington, Jefferson, Lincoln, Madison, Monroe. It strikes me we don't have a town named Adams.
I know. Well, it's interesting. Of course, both Washington and Adams were Federalists, and Adams, of course, had just one term after the one term after Washington, and maybe he just wasn't as popular in Maine as some of these other presidents. Because we do have, as you say, we have Washington, Jefferson, Madison, Monroe, and also Van Buren as well. And of course, that would be Martin Van Buren, who was president from about 1837 to 41, came after Jackson. And Van Buren was actually involved in Maine at the time. He was president at the time that the controversy over settling the boundary in northern Maine was occurring in the late 1830s. And Maine kind of got a little bit ahead of itself by wanting to send its own militia troops up there. He actually sent General Winfield Scott to Augusta to advise the governor and the legislature that this was really a federal matter. He got a town named for himself up there.
Oh, I love that story. I'm wondering, when you looked back at that old gazetteer that had been first, you said first created in 1800 and then updated in the 1880,
1880, yeah.
1880, and then updated. Are there towns whose names have changed?
Ah, that would be, I'm not sure of that, Jennifer. We'd have to that would take a little research.
And of course, we know that there are some, and most famously, Portland used to be part of Falmouth, and
Oh
South
yes.
Portland used to be part of Cape Elizabeth. Is that just in the Portland area, or are there situations like that all over the state?
No, I think there probably are other situations, but you do have the situation with Falmouth is that it became the name of a fairly large land area in the 17th century, in the 1600s, and then gradually communities broke off from that. The first was indeed Portland, because Portland, right after the Revolution, in 1786, incorporated as a town, specifically just on the peninsula. And then you have a situation where, much later on, in 1899, Portland decided that it wanted to expand into the suburbs, and it went north and actually annexed what was the city of Deering at that time, which had also broken off from, Westbrook broke off from Falmouth, and then Deering broke off from Westbrook. It's
I
quite a
love
chess
it.
game.
Yeah, just a little bit of a chess game. We are talking about town names in Maine, and it's so fun, Earl. After the break, we're going to talk about some of these that are questions already coming in. Do you know a story about your own town? And if you're listening and you live in Norway and you can clarify for us, we'd love that as well. But what have you always wondered? What do you know? Are there stories that have been handed down in your family about town names in Maine? And Earl, we were talking about Portland before we go. My understanding is that Portland, Oregon was not only named after Portland, Maine, but for Portland, Maine. Have you heard that as well?
Yes, there is a story. I don't know whether it's apocryphal or not, that in the early settlement of Portland, Oregon, there was a faction that wanted to call it Portland after Portland, Maine, and a faction that wanted to call it after Boston. And apparently there was a flip of the coin, and the Portland faction won out.
I love it. Well, if you'd like to join the conversation, and please do, our phone number 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org or find us on Facebook or Instagram. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today we are kicking off our new series, Name Calling on Maine Calling, Stories of Maine Names. We're learning about the many interesting and odd town names in Maine and the history behind those names, also how to pronounce them, depending who you ask, and we'll get to that in just a minute. Our guest is Maine State historian Earl Shuttleworth, and of course, we want you to join the conversation. What Maine town do you think the name is funny or odd, or do you have a story to share about your town? Send us an email, a brief email, please, talk@mainepublic.org. Comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. I'm going to start with an email from Monica. She writes, I was so excited to hear the show, but from the beginning, you disregard the indigenous names that existed prior to settlement and focus only on renaming of areas to Western names. Very disappointing and disrespectful to the Wabanaki, whose territory housed these towns. And Monica, I will tell you right now that our very next program is going to be about Wabanaki place names. We decided that that deserved an entire program of its own instead of being folded into another program. So please tune into the next one. We don't have a date yet, but when we do, it will be part of this series. I'm going to go to an email from Mark, who is from Vienna. He says, why do locals pronounce Vienna like Diana rather than Sienna? This varies among the 18 Viennas in the U.S. So he's saying that they say Vienna. I've always heard Vienna. And other places, of course, it's Vienna or, well, there's all sorts of variations. What do you know about that, Earl?
Well, I do. When I was young, we summered in Skowhegan. And there was a trip that my mother and I took one day out into the country, and we actually kind of got lost in the back country between Skowhegan and Farmington, and we stopped, and an old gentleman was by the road, and we said, you know, well, how do we get to Farmington? And he said, well, first you've got to get to Vienna Village. And he gave us the instructions for that. And then he said, there's a sign in there to get to Farmington from there. But he pronounced it Vienna.
So just another pronunciation. Do you think there's a reason for different pronunciations, or it's just one of those things like language that just sort of...
Oh, yeah. It's just the cultural development of language. Yeah.
And I think David, calling from Manchester, Maine, not New Hampshire or England, is calling in now. Hi, David, go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I basically had almost the same question, but a couple other places that I recognize a different pronunciation is Detroit. The locals call it Detroit. And Calais, of course, instead of Calais. I wonder if you knew anything about that.
Well, again, I think it's, you know, the local variation. And you also, you get that in a number of these communities that are named for foreign places. Another example would be Madrid. It was quite a few years ago that I was talking to actually he was an old a bookseller in New Gloucester, and in the course of the conversation he said, I found some of these books up in Madrid, and I said I kind of took a double take because I and then I figured out what that Madrid was Madrid.
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting too that David mentioned callous, and I'm thinking that callous isn't the only word of a French derivation that's not pronounced in the French way. We, of course, have Saint-Agathe, which is closer than saying something like Saint Agatha, but you, I'm just wondering about place names with French names. Why there's such a variation, Earl, or is that just going to be a mystery?
Yeah, I don't know that definitively.
Okay. David, thanks for the question. We're going to go to Jeff, who's calling from Bangor. Hi, Jeff, go ahead. Well, darn, that's okay. Hopefully Jeff will call back. We will go to Gary on Facebook, who writes, "The town of Castle Hill in Aroostook County was named after a structure on a hill that fell into disrepair and looked like a castle. Some say it was a fort, and some say it was a survey station. If anyone knows of any pictures of the structure, or even very old pictures of the hill, I would love to see them or any other Castle Hill history information."
Great.
Did you know that already, Earl?
No, I didn't. That's fascinating.
I love that. Okay.
Well,
Go ahead.
to Gary, I would say that from my own experience is that ultimately there probably will be an image of some kind of that building. In my experience of working in Maine history, sometimes it's years before you find something, but there's really a picture of almost everything.
An email from John. Is it pronounced Woolwich or Woolwich?
Oh, I think that's I think you hear it both ways.
You know, it's funny, Earl, when I was a young TV anchor in Maine, if I wasn't completely sure about the name of a pronunciation of a name of a town, I would call the dispatch. And I remember calling dispatch and asking that very question. And the dispatcher was very funny. He said, "It depends what side of the river you live on."
That's right.
And I think there's the same question about MDI. What do you say?
Oh yeah, well it yes, there's either Mount Desert or Mount Desert.
Yeah. Also asked a friend who grew up there, and he said, "Either one." So interesting. Okay, we'll go back to Jeff, who's calling from Bangor. Hi, Jeff, go ahead.
Oh hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh great. Well, in Bangor, we have the story that although the name wasn't changed, it was supposed to be, I believe, Sunbury. But the gentleman who was traveling by horseback to Boston to register the name was a minister, and his favorite hymn was called Bangor. And as he hummed that along the way, he must have thought it was divine inspiration and decided to register the name as Bangor.
Thank you, Jeff, for that story.
Yes, I actually just ran across that this morning in Varney's Gazetteer, that very story. So I
And
think
I
it's
love, can you imagine if Bangor were Sunbury?
yeah.
We can talk about that for a while. Maybe that'll be the name of a town in a Stephen King novel coming up. I love that. Jeff, thank you so much for calling. Greg wants to know the correct pronunciation of Lubeck. Am I saying Lubeck correctly, Earl? Do you know?
Yes, that's the way I've always heard it. Yes.
Wonderful. Lou says, this is a great one. This is an email. "I live in North Yarmouth, and most people would think that the word north in North Yarmouth means it's north of the town of Yarmouth. But actually, the north in North Yarmouth originally distinguished it from Yarmouth, Massachusetts, as the town was created back when Maine was part of Massachusetts." Had you heard that? You're nodding, Earl.
I haven't, but I certainly, you're absolutely right. There's a class of communities, whether it's North or sometimes it's new, you know, like New Gloucester, for example, will differentiate. There might very well have been settlers from Gloucester, Massachusetts in the 18th century who went there, and but they wanted to use the name of their town from which they came, but they also wanted to differentiate it from the original town. And so North and New were both ways in which people did that.
We'll go to Michael, who's calling from Wells. Hi, Michael. Go ahead.
Hello. I've always been curious about the name of the town, Norridgewock. It seems like a really interesting name, and I always wondered if it was the name of a town in England, like so many of our New England towns are, or if it was a Native American name. Curious about that one.
It's Native American.
All right. Thank you. There you go. Right? And in our next program, maybe we can hear the story behind the name. I appreciate that. An email here from Bruce who says, Medibemps, mic drop. So I think interpreting Bruce is that you can't get more unusual than Medibemps. What
exactly.
Can you tell us about that name, Earl?
Well, of course, Medibemps is in Washington County, and it became quite a well-known community name through the writings of William R. Pattengall. Pattengall was a lawyer and a politician beginning in the late 19th century here in Maine. His career extended into the 1930s when, after running for state office several times unsuccessfully, he ultimately became appointed to the Supreme Court in Maine. But he was a very clever, satirical writer. Of political satire. And his first series of writings were called the Medibemps Letters. And they were about a fictional legislator who came from Medibemps, which of course, I think he was doing a play on the name that, you know, Medibemps was an unusual name and obviously a rural area in Maine. And the Medibemps letters became very well known as a political literature in the early 20th century.
Well, Earl, one of our producers did a quick Google while we were listening to the last program about the last call about Norridgewock, and has this note that the correct name of the tribe for which the present town was named is Nanrant Suak, meaning people of the still water between the rapids. So that's interesting. An email here, let's see. Here's Chris on Facebook. The village of Bass Harbor on MDI used to be named McKinley after the president. Interesting. So, and then let's see, why are so few Maine named places named for women or girls? The three that come to mind are St. Agathe in Aroostook County, Mariahville in Hancock County, and Cape Elizabeth in Cumberland County. Are there others? Mariahville was named for the daughter of the great land agent, Samuel Waldo.
Well, that's a very good point. Yeah, no, I would agree. I don't think we have very few towns and cities named after Maine.
And isn't it true that Captain John Smith, of the famous Captain John Smith, named Cape Elizabeth?
Yes.
All right. Let's see here. We'll go to Portland and Wendy. Hi, Wendy. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Wendy. I work at 30 Acre Farm, and our farm is in, we say, Bremen, Maine, but people often respond and say, isn't it Bremen? So I'm curious about the pronunciation, and I've heard tell that it's a German. Bremen is the German pronunciation.
Aha. Earl, do you have an answer?
Yes, definitely. Bremen would be the German pronunciation of that, as opposed to Bremen. Yes, exactly.
All right, thanks so much. A note here from Steve. I just wanted to point out there are many Wabanaki tribal names throughout the state, reminding us of whose land we're living on. Many native names were anglicized, some were lost. In the 1800s, Madunkook became Friendship. Names tell stories. And this is from Steve in Tennant's Harbor, and he says, nobody knows where that name came from. We'll
Well, in terms of,
go ahead.
no, I just want to say that the name Friendship again probably fits into the group that we talked about early on of sort of civic values, freedom, unity, hope, industry, liberty, union, harmony, friendship.
We'll go to Ralph, who's calling from Farmington. Hi, Ralph, go ahead. Ralph, can you hear me? Are you there?
Yes.
Oh, go right ahead.
I lived in Peru for 20 years and learned that the Peru name was taken from South America, and they gained their independence in 1821 from Spain. And the original name of Peru was Partridgeville or Partridge Town.
Oh, I like
So.
that. And what do you know about the movement to change the name?
It was taken up by the town officials, and somehow they gained access to the knowledge of Peru and South America gaining their independence and wanted to celebrate it.
Yeah, so like you said, Earl, this is part of a trend.
Very much part of a trend, and my theory is that these foreign, some of the, at least some of the foreign country and city names are coming from, just as the gentleman just said, from period events. Peru getting its independence and people being aware of that, or as I said earlier, Moscow being destroyed by Napoleon. These were current events in the 19th century, and people latched onto them to use as town and city names.
It's so interesting because it really isn't how we think today, is it? If we were to name
No, no.
something, I don't think that that's how people would start thinking about it.
Well, of course, the whole process, as I said, of getting national and international news was so much more focused and so much narrower than it is now.
Well, and it seems as though people in the 1800s in Maine really considered themselves citizens of the world, even if they were living in a very small town.
Oh, absolutely. And of course, part of that, particularly along the coast, was the fact that there was so much maritime activity. And well, someone might be a sea captain or a ship's mate or even a shipbuilder, whatever, living in a small community, but the vessels that they were involved in took them all over the world. So
Well, we're speaking, yeah.
there was a cosmopolitan view.
We're speaking with state historian Earl Shuttleworth. This is the first in our series of shows about naming and names in Maine. We're talking about town names today. If you have a story about the town where you live or a question for Earl, give us a call 1-800-399-3566. Our email address, talk@mainepublic.org. You can also find us on social media. Earl, when we get back, I want to ask you about some towns that are named for people who are not presidents. I'm sure you have some good stories there. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, all about the names of Maine's towns and cities, some history and insights, and how they came about. And how you pronounce them. Joining me, state historian Earl Shuttleworth. If you'd like, we have a full Our board is full of phone calls, but I hope you can squeeze in. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email, if you're quick, to talk@mainpublic.org or find us on social media. I'm going to go to Sue, who's calling from Kingfield. Hi, Sue. Go ahead.
Hello. Yeah. And hello, Earl. It's Sue Davis here.
Oh, hi, Sue.
Hi. Kingfield, I'm sure Earl knows all this. Kingfield, of course, is named for William King, the first governor of the state, who was also instrumental in separating Maine from Massachusetts in 1820. It was named and founded in 1816. And so a lot of our history is in Massachusetts State Archives, because we were still Massachusetts when we were first founded. And one of the interesting things is, there were a couple of interesting things. One is that it used to be King's Fields, and it was shortened to Kingfield. And every time I would talk to somebody from out of state, way out of state, and give them the name, they would always say King's Field. It got so common that I always say Kingfield without an S. And I believe that there's only one other Kingfield in the United States. There's one in England, but only one other in the United States.
Sue, thank you for calling and telling us that about Kingfield. Earl, are any other towns in Maine named for governors?
Yes, they are. We have in Aroostook County, we have Washburn, named for Israel Washburn Jr., who was governor from 1861 to 63. He was the first of our Civil War governors, and that's just at the period when Aroostook is being developed. Also, Sidney Purim, who was governor after the Civil War, is a town named for him. Bowdoin is actually named for one of the Massachusetts governors after the Revolution, James Bowdoin. And then Fort Kent and Fort Fairfield are named for the governors in the late 1830s, early 1840s, who were involved in the Aroostook War period. And those are both Aroostook County communities. Fort Kent would be Edward Kent, and Fort Fairfield would be Governor Fairfield. And then in addition to that, we have up in Aroostook a community named for our senator at the time, the famous Maine politician James G. Blaine.
That's right. Sue, thank you so much for starting this part of the conversation. An email here from Jay. Ellsworth, Wisconsin, county seat of Pierce County, was named for the great-grandson of the founder of Ellsworth, Maine. So thank you, Jay, for that trivia. Carla on Facebook says, I live in Searsport. It is the only Searsport in the world. I assume it is named for someone named Sears?
Yes. There was a very prominent family in the 18th and 19th century in Boston, the Sears family. They were literally one of the wealthiest and most powerful families in Boston. One of the Sears was involved in the development of that part of Maine, and so the name Searsport.
A wonderful email from Leslie. When Orrington was incorporated in 1789, they misspelled Orange Town as Orrington. Brewer broke off as a separate town later. So another one in which the paperwork is to blame. Had you heard that, Earl?
No. That's a great story. Yeah.
We'll go to Kathy, who's calling from Alna. Hi, Kathy. Go ahead.
Yes. Alna was originally New Milford. And it was changed later because they thought the name was sounded too industrialized. They changed it to Alna, named after alders, which we have a lot of. And one of our claims to fame is that we supposedly milled the mast of the USS Constitution came from Alna, Old Ironsides.
Mm. Wonderful.
Thanks.
I love that.
Thank you
so much for calling and sharing that. That's terrific. Let's see. We'll go to Kitsy, who's calling from Portland. Hi, Kitsy.
Hi, Jen. You know, my last birthright name was Bolster, B-O-L-S-T-E-R. And there is in Maine, blink, if you blink, you miss it, Bolster's Mills. And it took a long time for my father, to tell me that his great-grandparents, Sarah and Alonzo Bolster, had been co-founders of South Paris, Maine. So when I finally moved here, my soul was here at birth, but when I finally moved here, I went up there to Bolster's Mills, and it's true, if you blink, you miss it. But all around Poland and Poland Springs is Bolster's upholstery and Bolster's garbage, and I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, I have real Maine roots. This is so exciting because my heart was always here.
Well, Kitsie, thank you for sharing that. Let's see. We'll go to Carl, who's calling from Bath. Hi, Carl. Go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to make a gentle comment about the came up about the correct pronunciation of the town Bremen, B-R-E-M-E-N. The fully correct German pronunciation would be Bremen, not Bremen. And I just thought I'd pass that on. So it's the way we pronounce it in Maine, the way it's pronounced in Maine, is an anglicized version anyway.
Now, it's interesting to me, Carl, you're calling from Bath, and you said Bremen, but our caller who works there calls it Bremen. Do you hear both?
No, we hear only Bremen here.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah,
all right,
no.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's not, and I think that's the also pronunciation that your colleagues use on Maine Public, too, is Bremen.
Great. Well, thank you so much. Yeah, somewhere floating around the newsroom, Earl, there's a list. And but what I'm learning today is maybe that list might not even be completely accurate, depending who you're talking to. Let's see. We'll go to Lorraine, who's calling from Surrey. Hi, Lorraine. Go ahead.
Hello, Jennifer. I have an interesting town name in Hancock County near me. It is, I'm going to spell it because it is unusual, W-O-N-S-Q-U-E-A-K, and it is One Squeak Harbor. And I'm at a loss of the origins of the name, unless, in fact, it might be Native American. So there's an interesting one.
Lorraine, I would like you to call back when we do our program with Native American place names, because I'm hoping that one of our guests will be able to answer that. And I'm really hoping also to hear stories. Let's see here. Thank you so much. I'm going to go to Roy, who's calling from Damariscotta. Hi, Roy. Go ahead.
Good morning. Fun show. I have a funny story that it's probably a yarn by my great uncle, who was quite a yarn runner. His name was Paul Francis, and he told me the story of the celebrations that created the shell heaps in along the shore of the Damariscotta River. Were this event also took place at when they were having those festivals, and it was a competition between the Indian braves and the Indian maidens. And so the maidens would run down one side of the Damariscotta River and the braves on the other. And when they got down to the narrowest point near where the bridge stands now, there's a large rock almost under the bridge. And one of the braves jumped across and jumped onto that rock. And he grabbed his maiden, who was the chief's daughter, and they said, "Damer, he's Cotter." And that's the name of Damariscotta.
Oh, your uncle was quite a card. Of course, yeah. That is myth, because people would not have been speaking English.
Exactly.
But anyway, I really appreciate it. But it does make me think, Earl, are there any sort of stories about place names, or especially town names, that are been handed down that aren't really true?
Well, again, I'm thinking very similar to what the caller just said. You know, when I first, as a child, first started going to Skowhegan, the local lore was that the name really meant that a Native American was standing by the river, watching a boat go by, Skowhegan, which again is just, you know, local lore.
Yeah, people love to the plays on words, right?
Yeah.
We'll go to Jim, who's calling from East Winthrop. Hi, Jim. Go ahead.
Oh, dear. Hi there. Yes, I wanted to mention a couple of things. The first was a question of who the town of Merrival was named for, and it was named for the daughter of William Bingham. Mariah was her name, but it's pronounced Merrival usually. And this is the Bingham Purchase. I mean, he basically owned most of eastern Maine originally, except for the coast. And I just wanted to mention that. But also, I haven't heard, I figured somebody had already called in about these items. The other thing, it might be Aurora, which is a, you know, somewhat unusual name, name for the goddess of the dawn. The town originally was Hampton, but it was decided that it was getting confused with Hamden, and they decided to change the name. The school teacher at the time, you know, thought a nice classical, classy name would be great. And that school, incidentally, is still in Aurora and open occasionally or by appointment as a museum.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Jim, for all of that. And you know what? I just learned something because I always said Mariahville, so I'm going to say Mariahville from here on in. Thank you so much for sharing. Earl, anything to add?
Well, again, I'm very glad that the caller mentioned William Bingham because he was a major factor in the late 18th century in how Maine developed in terms of his ownership of large tracts of land. And again, Bingham, Maine is also named for him as well.
Jim, thank you. Let's see. We'll go to John, who's calling from Harpswell. Hi, John. Go ahead.
Hello. I just wanted to point out that place names get repeated quite often. 51 years ago, I moved here from Wisconsin, and the names that I have, I went through my DeLorean there, Appleton, Bangor, Dexter, Harmony, Hope, Liberty, Moscow, Peru, Portland, Presque Isle, Princeton, Reedfield, Richmond, Sunset, Trenton, Union, Verona, Waldo, Washburn, Warren, Waterford, and Webster. And that's just a partial list, all from Maine and Wisconsin.
Wow, John, thanks for that. And Earl, I'm guessing that most of that is coincidence, but that in some cases it might be because so many Civil War soldiers moved west after the Civil War. Is that too late in history to be the reason?
Yeah, no, or earlier settlers as well. I mean, there was a period, for example, in the 18 teens, in which there actually was a very dramatic climate change event. I think they called 1816, 1816 and froze to death, and that actually resulted in a fair number of settlers leaving Maine and going out to Ohio, and so you do definitely have place names being carried from New England into the Midwest and the West as the country grows in the 19th century.
John, thank you for that. We'll go up to Bar Harbor and Jim. Hi, Jim. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Tim.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that Bar Harbor was originally known as Eden. And where I live in Town Hill, part of Bar Harbor was West Eden.
Eden, what a nice name. Do you know why the name was changed?
No, I don't actually.
Okay. Do you know, Earl?
I don't.
Okay. So as many mysteries as things that we know, we'll go to Brad, who's calling from Sanford. Hi, Brad. Go ahead.
Yes. I had a question about Bodenham, Maine. Years ago, I was told that Bodenham is the only so-named town in America. I just wonder if there's any truth to that.
Earl shaking his head. He doesn't know. It sounds like it could make sense. Such a big country, though, and so many small towns that I suspect we can't say for sure, just like our other caller talked about Searsport. I have an email here from Amber. Oh, boy. You know what? I'm not going to have time to go to that one. I'll read this one. My students, this is from Lori. Some years ago, we hosted a group of musicians from Denmark, the country, at our art center in Denmark, Maine. The name of the performance was Denmark Squared, and there was indeed a sense, an immediate sense of camaraderie between musicians and audience members. So that's a lovely sentiment to end this program on. Earl Shuttleworth, thank you so much for joining us. Earl Shuttleworth is the Maine State historian, and we want him always to thank him for joining us. Today's sound engineer, Chris Bridges, our theme song, composed by Mike Jandro. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. If you have not already signed up for Maine Calling's weekly newsletter, if you want to every Friday find out what's coming up in the next week, it's easy and free. Go to MaineCalling.org. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.